to be able to read the whole text, just for the sake of time, but if you have a Bible, I want you to leave your Bible open, because I'm going to refer to a few more scriptures. Are we there yet? No. We're not there. Okay. We need it, because I got to have it, because I didn't write it down. Okay, well, we're waiting here on mechanical difficulties. Oh, there it is. Okay. Philippians. Y'all ever read this before? Philippians chapter 4. Now, I got 10 to 13 because at first that is true. It is 10 to 13. But I had the first 13 verses. And actually, it's 11 now to 13. If you're OCD, it's actually 11. Okay, I just messed up. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Let's see, we could really break this on down today. I hope in 2018, I'm tired of living like this. Well, if you're tired of living like this, you know, maybe you need to get another job. But they don't pay me enough. They don't pay me what I'm worth. Thank God they don't pay you what you're worth. I'm just saying, if I don't go, I'm never going to get at it. I know how to be brought low. Have problems, and I know how to abound. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. He's just running the whole gamut from A to Z here. Abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. You may be seated. I found this kind of interesting. I thought you might as well. In the light of the rising frequency of human grizzly bear conflicts, the Montana Department of Fish and Game is advising hikers and hunters, fishermen, to take extra precautions to keep alert for bears while they're in the field. And I quote, "We advise that outdoorsmen wear noisy little bells on their clothing so as not to startle bears that aren't expecting them. We also advise outdoorsmen to carry pepper spray with them in case of an encounter with a bear. It is also a good idea to watch out for fresh signs of bear activity. Outdoorsmen should recognize the difference between black bear and grizzly bear manure." Black bear manure is smaller, contains lots of berries and squirrel fur. Grizzly bear manure has little bells in it and smells like pepper. I found it kind of interesting. Point being, we live in a hostile world. There's things out there that eat you up. There's things out there that will absolutely burn you, electrocute you, persecute you. You see, if you run out of water, you'll die of thirst. If you run out of food, then you'll die of hunger. If you run out of oxygen, you'll die of suffocation. And to Paul in the early church, these were the things that were an everyday possibility to them. They lived under the threat of persecution. They lived under the threat of pain. They lived under the threat of dying every day, every moment. They didn't know what was going to happen. And so when Paul wrote this scripture and said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me," I want you to know these are the things that he had in mind. These are the things that he was thinking about. Now, I know specifically what he was speaking about, but I'm kind of generalizing it right now to let you know as we go down the scripture just a little bit. These are the things that when he was penning this, that he actually was thinking about. So this is the intent of the writer. And you know, I know we're so determined to defy the laws of hermeneutics and to cherry pick a verse here and to cherry pick a verse there. And we cherry picked this verse, man. It's become an industry. They've got cups, they've got plaques, they've got banners, they've got t-shirts, they've got tennis shoes. Everybody talks about it when it comes down that they want something in life. Well, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Well, let me tell you something, what it does not mean, okay? I'm going to tell you what it doesn't mean. What it doesn't mean is that you're going to make every three-point shot. It doesn't mean that every time you go to the golf course that you're going to make a birdie. It doesn't mean that you're going to be the strongest and the fastest and the biggest and the best. It doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire. It doesn't mean that you're going to be a movie star. It doesn't mean that you're going to defy the gene pool and become the most fabulous, richest, and unbelievable personality in the world. That's not what Paul meant. So you can't take that scripture and try to apply it to everything. I got a test this week, man. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm not talking about a test in your life. I'm talking about a test at school, young people. God will help you, but you've got to put something in if you're going to get something out. Amen. He can't recall it if you never put it in. You just can't believe God's just going to give you. You never open a physics book, you know, in your physics class, and you're gonna ace the test this week. No, that's not what it's talking about. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. What it tells me and what it really means is whatever you face in life, whatever it is, I'm talking about the difficulties of life, here's the deal. Christ faces it with you. Is that simple? Yeah, that's real simple. But somehow we've lost track of that. We've lost sight of that. Whatever circumstance sets you back, you can and you will overcome. Well, I don't think everybody realizes what's going on here. You don't understand, Pastor. It seemed like in my life, everything is against me. It seemed like in my life, everyone is against me. My mom is against me. My dad is against me. My mother-in-law is against me. My wife is against me. My boss is against me. Why is everybody picking on me? And I've just got problems. And everybody's, let me tell you something. This word said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You say, but Pastor, you don't know me. I don't have to know you because God knows you and he knows what to do and how to do it and he's always on time. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, turn me up on these down here. Okay, down there. Pastor, I got drama in my life. Well, I want you to save your drama for your mama because the Bible said, because God is with me, who can be against me? Amen? As a matter of fact, the psalmist said that the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. I will not fear what man can do unto me. You see, I will not fear what anybody or anything, nothing, no circumstance, no person, no situation will be able to divert me in the gospel in my life and the will of God in my life if I know in whom I have believed and I put my hand in the hand of the man to steal the water and I don't let go. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. Got problems? Got problems? Got milk? There's a movie back in night. It was put out in 1995. Most of you probably remember it. It was called Apollo 13. I remember that movie. It's a movie about that mission they took, the Apollo 13, where starring Tom Hanks, and they got up there and in the atmosphere way up there, and it hadn't took long, and everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And Jim Lovell, which is, you know, played by Tom Hanks, he got on his radio to call back, and he said, Houston, well, we've got a problem. Well, there was a man that took his son to see that movie. When Jim Lovell said, Houston, we got a problem, he looked over at his dad and said, Dad, it's no wonder they got a problem. Look, Forrest Gump's driving the thing. Amen. You see, we all have problems. Is there anyone here that can say, and I can identify with problems? And then we try to use our excuses. Well, if I had, you know, a different, if I had been raised a little different, if I had a better job, if I had a better wife, if I had better parents, if I lived on the other side of the tracks, if I had more money, had better health, if I could just catch a break. Well, give me a break. This book says you can do all things with through Christ that strengthens you. It's always if I could just this, if I could just that. I got news for you. If frogs had wings, they wouldn't hop. Somebody say amen. But it's not about the if that you don't have. It's about what you do have. And the Bible says I can do all things through Christ. You can overcome. You can be victorious. You can live above and beyond the things that have got you down and knocked you down, because God will get you back up and he'll strengthen you and he'll infuse you. If you need supernatural change in your life, God is in the changing business, because God is God and he always will be God. But remember this, it's always through Christ. It's through Christ. It's through Christ. It's not, you know, by sheer will. It's not by my true grit. It's not by my strength, and it's not by my power, and it's not by my hard work. It's not just pulling myself up by my bootstraps. No, sir, my friend. It's God's grace that's sufficient. It's God's grace that's available. It's God's grace that'll be there for you. And guess what? You can't even pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You hadn't got the strength. But I know one that can pull you up and your boots. And one of these great getting up mornings, he's going to snatch us off this planet. And if he can do all that, he can get me and help me and all things, and I'm going through everything. Amen. Okay, let's look at the text for a moment. Now, I don't want to just cherry pick it, because I'm not going to do that, but let me give you a little context here. You might be asking yourself, well, what things then? How can I turn Sunday morning sermon into Monday morning reality? I'll tell you how. Has it got any more on this? Problems. Everybody got problems. My problem is I can't. Got enough. Your problem is I'm too loud. I'm sure we can find something around here somewhere. I can do all things. How do I turn this Sunday morning sermon into a Monday morning reality? Well, let me just give you a few points, okay? So if you're taking notes, first day of the year, this is some notes you need to take. Number one. Lengthen your roots to stand in your circumstances. I told you to keep your Bible open. Verse 1 says, Paul wrote and says, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Stand firm. I mean, every voice is going to be speaking to you in 2018. It has all your life. And you know what I have learned in life? The voices that speak to me are not the voices I really need to hear. Now, I'm kind of strange. I hear voices. And you know what they tell me? You can't make it. You can't accomplish that. You can't do it. I mean, when I first started preaching, man, I've told you this, but I can't explain to you how scared I was to preach when I first started preaching. Matter of fact, the very first day, the very first time I ever preached, 6 months after I got saved, I was so scared to death that I was outside the church trying to keep from throwing up. And then for the next 5 to 10 years, I threw up every time I got up to preach. Not in the pulpit. I did once. I won't tell you that story today. But I did. Well, I had a cup up there. They didn't know it. But one preacher knew I was sick, and after service, after things done, he said, I got one question for you. I said, what's that? Did you throw up in that cup? I said, I sure did, brother. Amen. You see, I was afraid, I was scared, but you know what? As I lengthened my depth in God, as I got more trust and belief in God, as I got out on the limb and I found out the fruit is out on the limb, and I realized that God would never forsake me, God will never leave me, and when I got up to preach, guess what? I wasn't alone when I preached, and I'll be there for you. Well, I was scared to death, but God helped me through it. You need to stand firm, and those voices said, you can't keep preaching, you can't keep teaching. And that's the way it is in life. Maybe that's what you're hearing. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never get past where you're at. You've tried for year after year to try to get rid of some things. You're going to fall. You're going to buckle. Surely there's no way you can endure what you have to go through. Every circumstance in my life tells me that I can't be successful in Christ. It tells me I can't achieve. I can't live for God. Has anybody else ever heard that in your life? I made my mind up one day. I got to hearing the devil. I mean, I didn't hear him audibly. Don't look at me like that. But I just kept thinking to myself, or maybe it was the devil, said, you're going to die and go to hell. I said, man, I got saved. Devil, I got saved. And he just kept on. But one day I realized something. I said, devil, if I'm going to go to hell, I tell you what, I'm going to go to hell being the best Christian I can be. I'm going to go to hell preaching and singing and worshiping God. And I'm going to do everything I can do. But it only takes a little while to get this word in you that it doesn't just become, it's not just black words on white paper. You've got to start living it. And that's the depth of the word. You see, you can stay faithful to God. You can overcome sin. You can be victorious in this life that you live right now. Because I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You can get deeper. Do you know that it's scientists tell us for thousands of years that the bumblebee is proven scientifically. The bumblebee cannot fly. They tell us that the bumblebee is too fat. No comment. The bumblebee is too, his wings are too small. The bumblebee is not aerodynamic. There's nothing about the bumblebee that really it should be airborne. But don't tell the bumblebee that. Because they fly. Scientists says they should not be able to fly. But they're able to fly. How are they able to fly? Because the scientists did not create the bumblebee, and evolution did not create the bumblebee. You see, it was God in the beginning. God created the bumblebee and said, fly. And guess what? It's been flying ever since. And so don't go telling the bumblebee you can't fly. What are you saying? I'm telling you, if God tells you you can do it, you can do it. Stand firm in the Lord. You can do all things. No matter what the consensus says. No matter what happens or whatever says to you, it's impossible. You can't do that. You couldn't possibly be a Christian. You couldn't possibly live that kind of life. Let me tell you something. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If I'll stand firm, if I'll stay connected, if I'll keep my anchor in Him. Because I got news for you. The anchor still holds. Like the old song said, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I've fallen on my knees as I faced a race. Agencies. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. Amen. And I want you to know, brother, this book is still firm, and it's a firm foundation to stand on your life. If you'll stand on the word of God, come heaven, hell, high water, come devils, demons, whatever, when it's all said and done, the smoke clears and the dust settles, everything else may have fallen by the wayside, but if you'll stand on this word, dig down deep in this word, if you'll get it in your life this year, I got news for you. As Paul said, nevertheless, some have erred from the truth. Some have fallen away. Some have fallen down. Some are not with us now. But nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Knowing this, He knows those that are His. Can I tell you, you may stand on the rock and the storm will come. But if you'll dig down deep in this word of God, I want you to know when it's all over, you'll still be standing. Why? Because, brother, His word is true. Amen. You see, oh man, this word, and I don't mean the power of just this just physical book. It's not a good luck piece. Hello? Brother Marvin knows what I'm talking about. Men, they come, take them to court, they got their New Testament with them. Not throwing no stones at anybody. If that was you, just chill out on me here. Okay? Because you're all right. I took a guy last week, I walked in, he said, "Oh, Pastor, you're taking me to court." And I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "Praise God." I said, "What?" He said, "I was praying this morning. Lord, give me a sign. Everything's going to be all right." I said, "What are you in here for?" "Well, what are you going to court for?" He said, "I'm trying to get a bond. Can I just use a little terrible, not good English? If you ain't got a bond, something wrong with you. Hello? Something's wrong here. That's a bad deal." And he said, "But you know what? I seen you, and I knew if the preacher took me, God was going to bless me." I said, "Baby, I want you to know." I'm going, "Baby." I said, "Brother, let me tell you something. I'm not your good luck piece." He said, "No, I know." And I'm thinking, "Man, don't do it. Don't go there." And I kept telling him, "Don't go there. Don't keep me out of the equation, man, because I got nothing to do with it." Because I knew how this thing was going to go. Got up in court, didn't even take 1 minute. "Judge, we'd like to lower the bond." "Nope." And then his face lowered. And as we went back to the taking bag, it was the Lord's name in vain. It was this and that. He was cussing. And I said, "Man, what happened to Jesus?" And what happened to the word of God? What happened to the sign? I told you don't believe in me, but you got to put your faith in the word of God. And it's not a good luck piece. It's not a four-leaf clover. This thing is not going to protect you. If a bullet comes through, it'll go right through it, okay? It's not what you think it is. It's not the book as so far as the physical. It's the message. It's the word. Word. The devil said, "Why don't you just throw yourself off? And why don't you just make some stones into bread?" And what did Jesus say every time? He didn't have a Bible like this. You know why? Because he was the Bible. He is the Word of God. And he says, "Satan, it is written." And if you don't have the Word of God on the inside of you, you can carry your book all around with you, but it's not going to do you any good. But if you get it on the inside of you, I tell you, you'll be able to stand. Stand, having all to stand. You stand. Oh, this book, man, it's been marginalized. It's been burned. It's been scandalized. It's been torn to shreds. It's been crucified. It's been buried. It's been put in a grave. But you know what? Every time they put it in a grave, it beats the pallbearers back to the house. Amen. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He said, "Stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Lord. Stand firm in the Word of God. The rock of your salvation is the Word of God." You say, "Preach, I'm scared." Well, you may tremble on the rock, but the rock will never tremble under you. Amen. Are y'all with me? What time is it? Oh. Amen. First day of the year, give me a break. Let's go. We better go. Look at the second verse. This is where this is pastoral stuff here. Love through your differences. Love through your differences. Verse 2 says, "And I treat Odie, and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord." Okay, we all have differences, but through Christ we can love through them. If you got the love of Christ in you, if you have this foundation I'm talking about, can I tell you, discord and disunity create unstableness. They do it in your life. They do it in your marriage. They do it on your job. Think about it. When there's discord and disunity it brings an unstableness to the atmosphere, to everybody. And it will absolutely do it in any church when there's a, when there is a discord and a disunity and a whispering. And what happens is that a spiritual instability gives way to a plethora of sins like pride and criticism and unforgiveness and anger. And then you have split homes. You have split relationships. You have split churches. And it all comes back to this. Yet on the other hand, where there's unity, where there's harmony, where there's peace, as a whole, I want you to know the people are stable. The circumstance is stable. The relationship is stable. Why? Because it brings us stability. And a stability is provided for all. That's why you have to have unity in a church. That's why you got to get your differences behind you. If you want Life Point Church to grow like you've never dreamed it to grow, and get me, I don't know there's any problem. I'm just preaching, okay? Don't get mad at me, but I'm telling you, you got to get that right with somebody. You got to get things right with your brother, your sister, because if you do, it blesses the whole. Amen. Somebody say amen. Now, two people can be mad at each other and said, one on that side, I better not point. One on that side, one on this side. And guess what? It's going to create a disunity, and that disunity is going to be an unstableness for the whole church. But on the other hand, if everybody get together, pray together, stay together, look past all of our differences. The Bible said they were in one mind and one accord. And suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You want another Pentecost? You want a revival in your church? I tell you, get together with your brother and your sister and get together all the time. I don't mean get together, you know. I mean spiritually. Sometimes it's better not to hang out with everybody. Sister Tommy, that's what Don used to tell me. That's where all your problems start, Pastor. He's went on to be with the Lord, but man, he had some vignettes of wisdom, I'm telling you. Some I liked and some I didn't. But anyhow, he said, man, that's where all your problems start. And I said, I tend to agree with you, Don, because sometimes you get too close to one another. But the problem is, here's the deal. There was these two women. That's what the scripture's talking about. These two women, and that's their names. I don't know why their mama would name them that, but that's their names. And for some reason, they were in conflict. What were they having conflict over, Pastor? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It just doesn't say. It could have been over the color of the carpet. They could have been arguing whether candy corn was a vegetable. Man, y'all are slow this morning. But you're worth waiting on. I don't know what it is. But what Paul was saying is this: knock it off. There's eternal issues at hand here, and the stupid, petty things that people argue about in churches is ridiculous. You need to, if you want to do all things, you got to get right with your brother, your sister, and you have to have unity. I may have told some of this, but I was driving. I went to Tulsa one day to go to the hospital, and while I was there, I took my car by the shop. I had to get it fixed. And so as they were fixing, they gave me a loaner. And they didn't give me just any loaner. They gave me one of them sweet little BMW, I don't know what it is. This is a sports too, you know, with the convertible top and everything. Man, I was looking good in that thing too. I said, this is me. Just kidding. Not really. And so I'm on my way to the hospital, and I pull up to an intersection, going to turn left to go to St. John's. And at that intersection there was two homeless guys. Had their signs, "We'll work for food," you know. Man, they were about to go to blows here. I mean, they were yelling at each other, cussing each other. And I was listening to them with the top down. And I said, he said, "This is my corner." Like I said, "No, I've been here since last week." And they just kept on and on. Finally, I'm just sitting there at the light, and I look out, and I said, and I mean, they're about as close to me and Brother Steve right here, you know, they're just arguing. I said, "Hey!" windows down, no top. Yeah. They look over at me. I said, knock it off. They didn't know what to say. They thought I was an incredibly important guy driving around in a BMW with a suit on or something. I don't know. They thought, who is this guy? But they didn't ask any questions. They said, okay. And I watched them shake hands. I've done my good duty for the day. I drove on. I came back. And guess what? Yeah, they were still there. One was on one corner, one was on the other corner, but they both had their signs, we'll work for food. But they got it all worked out, praise God. Knock it off! That's what Paul's saying. What were they arguing about? I tell you what they were arguing about. They were arguing about a piece of land that didn't even belong to them, number one. It belonged to the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma. You see, they were arguing about something that wasn't even theirs. And I thought, you know, that's exactly what happens in churches. That's exactly what happens in the body of Christ when we get these schisms and these fights and we argue with things it just doesn't make a lot of sense, because everything we usually argue over is not ours. Here it is. And this is some churches, we don't want new people in the church. I'm afraid I'll lose my position. You're only in that position because God put you in that position. And God lifts up and God can take you out. Amen. He's the one that puts us in place, okay? We're all fitly joined together where God wants us. And so it's not your position. I've had people say this. I'm not coming back to church because I came to church and somebody was sitting in my pew. You've heard that, but I honestly heard that on the phone. Somebody was sitting in my pew. Well, we solved that problem. We got chairs, man. And I said, did you buy it? Does it belong to you? Why, no. Well, if it does, I suggest come back to church. You really said that? And I said, and when service is over, take the pew home with you. If it's yours. They got up and they know that's my song, and they sang my song, and I'm just telling you things I really have heard in my pastorate, okay? Not in LifePoint Church, man. This is a beautiful place with beautiful people. Nobody argues about anything around here. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about my first church as usual, okay? Just so give me a break and just get the chip off and know that somebody's singing my song. Well, let me ask you this. Did you write that song? Are you the one that actually wrote that song? Do you have it copyrighted? I mean, when I checked, it said Bill Gaither on it, okay? And so, you know, it's not you that wrote it. It's not the person that wrote it. So it's really not your song. You see what I'm saying? And then here's the biggie. Let me just get to the biggie. And this is in a lot of churches. And I know a lot of pastors. And thank God, that's why I have been in LifePoint Church for over 20 years now. And that is this. I've been to churches where they had it in their minds. You're not coming in here and telling me nothing because this is my church. It's my church. Well, buddy, last time I checked, he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's not your church. It's not my church. It's not the Boer's church. It's nobody's church but Jesus Christ. And as far as I'm concerned, if he's the head of the church, I'm going to follow him. Because he's the only one that knows the way out of here. I'm going to stick with Christ. I can't do all things. I can get right with my brother and sister. Number three, I better hurry. Where are we at here on time? Oh, we got plenty of time. Got another hour and a half here, praise God. Number three, live above your anxiousness. Verse 5 and 6, it's the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, I want you to know, we're eventually going to go through this, and we'll break it down. It literally would take us months, at least a few weeks, months, to get probably through this whole chapter. It's so jam-packed with such unbelievable fact and truth. But you can live above your anxiousness. I can do all things. I can live above my anxiousness, my fears. There's a thousand things that'll make your blood pressure go up. Paul said, I don't suggest you do that. It's harmful to you. It's harmful to the body. It's harmful to everybody. And that is, you know what you need to do is you need to trust God. You say, but how do I do that? Well, he goes on to say here, I didn't put it on here, but he goes on to say here, by prayer. This is how that you are not anxious about life, okay? Now, I'm not talking about, there's things you're going to be afraid of, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm talking about a lifestyle of anxiousness. Every day you get up, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. You see a devil behind every door. You see problems. There's a devil up underneath my bed. I just have problems, and they're all around me, and I'm going to wake up today. Why don't you get enough of God in your life that when you wake up in the morning, instead of saying, oh, no, I'm up again. Where's that mean devil at? Why don't you get enough of God that when you wake up in the morning, your eyelids begin to start moving? The devil said, oh, no, they're up again. Let's get up out of here. Amen. I want you to know you can live above your anxiousness, your fears, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your request known to God. And then he says, when you do, the peace of God will keep your heart and minds in Christ. Don't let your fears, your anxieties just get a hold of you that you're afraid to live life. You see, if you don't watch, you won't be able to live your own life. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I don't suggest everybody live like I live. I live a little dangerously sometimes. I get on the motorcycle and my wife says, don't try anything. She knows me. I live a little dangerous. Always have. You never know where I'm going to be. I might be in a hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning praying with folks, or I might be running down an alley somewhere. You say, man, you know, you ought to watch out, you know. Well, I do. I've been criticized. Pastor, again, I'm just telling things, true things. I'm not telling you made up things. Pastor, you just live too close to the edge. And you know what my response is? If you're not living on the edge, baby, you're taking up too much real estate. Amen, amen, amen. You see, I'm not going to wait for life to be over and say, man, I wish I'd lived it. I wish I'd have... You know, there's a lot of things I like would have liked to have done, and I never did it. Brother, when I come to the end, I want to live my life to the fullest. I want to wring every ounce I have in my life out for God. And I want to do it for the Lord. And I want to know that God is God and He always will be God. And like Stonewall Jackson said, you know, Stonewall Jackson, when the muskets were flying around him, when people were ducking for cover, when the cannonball was going over his head, he sat on his horse, and he never blinked an eye. And they asked him, how in the world could you ever, in battle, you're never afraid in battle. You know what he said? He said, I never take counsel with my fears, okay? I never take counsel with my fears. And then he said, I trust a living God. And what he was saying, I trust in the supernatural sovereignty of God. And he said, I'm as safe on the battlefield as I am in my bed if I live for Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Can I tell you that my life is not predicated upon my circumstance. It's not predicated upon my, whether you agree with me or people agree with me. It's not predicated upon my emotions, how I feel about things. But my faith is predicated on the undaunting belief that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I will not waste my time as your pastor telling you, hey, we're not going to make it. It's not looking good. The devil's a bad dude. I'm not going to waste your time and my time telling you how dark the world is, why the gospel is not going to be received in Muskogee, Oklahoma, that you can't do this and you can't do that, and there's no way we're going to ever accomplish this or that. I'm here to tell you, God did not call me to curse the darkness. He calls me to light a fire, and I'm going to light that fire in Muskogee, Oklahoma, so all the world can see, and then they can come out and watch us burn. I want you to, I'm going to speak
speak faith. I'm going to speak the word of God. For I am persuaded that the word of God is the only thing that can set the captive free. And I'm going to preach it. And I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to trust God even when I want to be anxious about life.
Amen. Oh, Pastor, you don't know how old I am. Yeah, I do. I know exactly how old you are. My pastor's 82 years old. Listen to me, young folk. Don't go around saying, I go down a lot of point church, my pastor's old.
My pastor's 82 years old.
Recently took a church. Brother Leon McDowell. Hey, I called him and said, Brother McDowell, just want to congratulate you on your church. And he said, Brother Guy, he said, I still got the fire in me. Amen. And I said, God, let me be like my pastor. And he said, we had one family leave. They said, oh, I was too old, and they left. And I said, Pastor, don't worry about that. I said, I took my first church when I was 26 years old, and I had a family leave, and they said I was too young. So you know what? You can't please everybody. Amen. Somebody say amen. So don't even try to please everybody. Just please God. Live your life for Jesus Christ, and know that God is God, and don't be afraid to live. Now, I know I'm going to get in trouble, but my wife's always asking, when are you going to grow up? I said, listen, Grandma, have you heard of Peter Pan? Amen. She tells me a lot of it. She keeps me straight. Thank God for my wife. She's the best thing God ever gave me. She's in here. Yes, she's in here. Amen. I told her that a few mornings ago. I said, baby, God gave me to you, or you to me, so you could be there and keep me straight. And she said, it's a tough job. And she said, oh, I'm going to embarrass her. I know that was a private conversation, baby. Forgive me. She said, when I get to heaven, I got a bone to pick with God. Amen. And I said, baby, that's all right. When we get to heaven, everything will be all right. All right. But just keep hanging in because I love you. And you know you love me. And it's going to be okay. Amen. But you see, you're looking at a man that, you know, I just refuse to get old. I ain't talking about going getting Botox and coloring my hair and all that. No offense if you do. Don't get hung up on that. I'm just saying, it's not about my age, and it's not about even my physical body. It's about my spirit. When you're 80 years old, you can say, I want that mountain up there. Well, you're an 80-year-old man. How in the world are you going to take that mountain, Caleb? That was the toughest one. There were giants up there. And Caleb said, I've been waiting around a long time on these slackers, and I'm going to take that mountain there. And so God gave him that mountain. It doesn't matter how old you are. I just refuse to grow old. I mean, if you think in this stage in my life that I'm just going to wind down, eventually become a man that goes out and buys him some of that sweet water and puts it in that hummingbird feeder, and then I'm going to sit on my porch somewhere and watch it. Silly little bird, just drink that water. You're wrong. I said, you're wrong. I don't intend to wind up bored. Get a Harley. Buy a Mustang. When I got my Mustang, some sister in the church, she's not here any longer. You know, I always use illustrations. If you leave, I'm going to use you as an illustration. But if you stay here, you're good. You're good. You're good. You're in like Flint. All right? You're stuck like Chuck. But they said, Pastor, and I could tell you a little upset, you know. You're a pastor, and you're going through childhood again. You're going through your second childhood. I said, no, sister, I ain't never left my first one, okay? I'm not growing old. Old preachers never die. They just
just blaze away. Amen. And that's the way I feel about it. I mean, just buy a Harley, man. Get a Mustang. Shoot the rapids. Jump out of an airplane with a parachute on. I mean, you know, go over the Niagara Falls in a barrel. Go parasailing. I mean, do something. Live life on the edge a little bit. And maybe I could just say this. Pastor church, live for God. Witness and try to save somebody's life and their soul. And just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The bottom line is live for God. Live for God. For God's sake, don't weather up and roll over and die. And you need to take charge of your life. And you need to say, I know there's a greater one inside of me than he that is in the world. And I'm not going to be afraid to live. I'm going to live above my anxiousness. I'm going to live above my fears. I refuse to get bored in life because God is the only one that gave me life. And I only got one life. And I'm going to spend it for him. I'm going to live for God and give him everything. And if I'm afraid of every devil that comes along, then I'm never going to live my life for Jesus. I refuse to be afraid of the devil. I signed a contract to fight the devil a long time ago. I said, God, I'll fight the devil. I'll give you everything I got. I signed it, man. I'm hooked up on the contract. And in that contract, I signed it. And it says, and I signed this contract, and I say that I will fight the devil all of my life. I'm never going to give up, and I'm never going to give in. I signed that contract. I'm going to fight him with my fist. I'm going to fight him with my feet. I'm going to kick him as he goes. I'm going to hit him as he comes. Amen. I'm going to fight him with my teeth, and I'm going to bite him and keep on biting him. And if I get old enough, I lose my teeth, I'm going to gum him till I die. Amen. I will not give up, and I will not let my anxieties get a hold of me. Get a Harley, man. Get a Mustang, and just live your life for God. Oh, my word. Let me get the last point. Never going to get there. This is it, the last point. Eliminate your mind from sinful negative thinking. Verse 8. Finally, my brothers, he brings it to a climax. That's what I'm doing. Just give me a few more minutes. It's not 12 o'clock yet. Finally, my brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. See, that's the problem right there. When I say laminate, you know what laminate is? It means literally to seal it with a protective material. Seal it with a protective material. Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what's that good and perfect will of God. But you see, you got to renew your mind through this word. And that's how you seal your mind from the devil and from the circumstance. You get your mind out of the gutter would be a good point to start with. Get it out of the gutter. Do you know the devil is the master of fake news? If all you do is go to work and sit there and listen to all the guys tell the dirty jokes and you laugh with them, I don't want nobody to think I'm square or anything. I don't either, but man, I tell you what, I'm not going to sit there and laugh at their filth. It's not funny to me. They're innuendos. And then go home and watch the news. Fake news, bad news, whatever you want to call it. And then go to church. Get with my little clique. Talk about the preacher, Sunday school teacher, music minister. I think the music's too slow. I think the pastor's too loud and too long. I think the people are too ugly. Whatever. It's no wonder that your children grow up and be better. It's no wonder that all they've ever heard is you eating pastors.
and preachers and churches, and you don't like this and I don't like that. Get your mind out of the gutter. You can hardly make it from Sunday to Sunday. Well, that might be a good reason why you can't. You're thinking on the wrong things. You're thinking on things, and you're talking about things that really do not matter to a hill of beans. Somebody say amen. Really, so we're talking about things, and I'm about to close. Just give me a few minutes, please. This is important. When we sit around talking about things, and I'm not here to point out particulars, but I'm just giving you an example, you know. Someone says to me, did you know that Mick Jagger is turning 75 this year? That's amazing. That little pervert looks like he was rode hard and put up wet. Did you see him at the Super Bowl a few years ago? Man, he's running around that stage, but he's pulling an oxygen bottle with him. Amen. This guy is a pervert. I don't know if you know it, but he's a pervert. He's full of the devil. Don't have sympathy for the devil. Amen. You shouldn't talk like that. You're a preacher. I'm just telling you the truth. Prince Harry's getting married. Oh, you get more excited about that than you do when I say Jesus is risen from the dead. Let me tell you something, men. I understand women. Okay, I understand women. Of course, I'm going to tell you one thing. King Harry, or Prince Harry, he got the best in the world. Never mind. Amen. But if you men, if you're all you do is sit around talking about Prince Harry and all the royals, they're having a baby. Oh, what if it's going to be a boy or a girl? The next one that leaves, I'm going to say it's them. Don't you leave. If you men are caught, and that's all you want to talk about, I'm going to suggest you relinquish your man card today, okay? At least wait till the next offering plate goes by or the bag and put it inside, because, man, I'm telling, there's more important things to talk about than that. Because did you ever think about that? Those royals, and I don't mean to be offensive to anybody, and I know you may be into all that, but, man, did you understand that they're a bunch of slackers? Now, why would you say that, Pastor? They're the royal family. La-dee-da! Who cares? Oh, Harry puts his britches on just like I do. They're slackers. They live in government homes. Amen? It's truth. And the government homes are paid by from the people. Oh, and by the way, unless you're just kind of feeling bad for, you know, the queen. These folks don't even have a job. Seriously, they don't have a job. But the queen got it raised last year, a 78% raise. Man, I'd like to get that one, wouldn't you? I'm having a board meeting right after church. It wasn't like, you know, she was making a whole lot of money, 78%. You know, that's not a whole lot, Pastor. Well, you know, it is. It depends on how much she was making. She was making $42.8 million. Now she's making $76.1 million. I mean, that's a pretty good little raise just for what? So she can ride around a little cart all day with some horses carrying around. Look at me. Act like your armpits don't even stink, you know. Act like, you know, I got something you don't have. I'm somebody you're not. I'm a royal. I got news for you. I am somebody. I said I am somebody because my daddy is the king. My father's the king. And the king is coming. And I'm not going to get in the carriage. I'm going to get on a white horse. And I'm going to come riding back with him. He is the king. And I want you to understand something. I am royalty because of him. And I live for Christ. Amen. Quit thinking like the world's what I'm trying to tell you. Let me real quickly. I'm going to tell you. Go here. Man, they're leaving like flies here. Look at this. Look at the adjectives. If you have your Bible open. What are adjectives that they modify a noun? Well, who's the noun? Well, a noun's what? Person, place, and thing? He said, if there's anything true, anything honorable. They're ready for me to go too. There it is. Anything honorable, lovely, commendable, any excellence. Think on these things. Well, let me ask you something. Is there anything excellent? Is there anything worthy of praise? Think about these things. These are adjectives. They modify the noun. The noun is Christ. You see, these are attributes. If you just wanted to just impose Jesus in there, think on what's true. He's true. Think on what's honorable. He's honorable. Think on what's just. He's just. Think on what's lovely. He's lovely. Think on what's commendable. He's commendable. And then if anything is excellent, he is excellent, my friend. If anything's worthy of praise, I got news for you. He's the only one worthy of our praise. Jesus Christ is the only one worthy. So what he's saying, put your mind on Christ. Get your mind stayed on Jesus. He whose mind is stayed on thee is in perfect peace. And if you'll keep your mind on God, your life will not be a negative thinking kind of life. Think on Christ. He's true, and I close. Okay. I'm just quitting. Come back. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. See, those are just a few things. We could be here for a long time. But it's enough to get us started for the year. It's enough that you can take your life and say, you know what? This is the direction I want to go in 2020. Because you can go through some things. I'm not a prophet. I've never prophesied over anybody except I preach. Don't give me any prophecy, but I said, I want a prophecy for 2018. Okay, I'm going to give you a good prophecy, okay? You're going to go through the fire in 2018.
That is not what I wanted to hear, Pastor. I wanted to hear that I was the head and not the tail.
That's fine. You are. But the head's got to go through the fire with the tail. Just don't be a wigwamp. Amen. You can't straddle the fence with your wig on one side, your wump on the other. Yeah, you're going to go through the fire. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have problems. The devil's going to tell you, you know, this year you just might as well give up. You might just quit life on. You might as well just quit living for God. You just you know, it's just too hard. And what you're going through, you're never going to make it. Well, I got news for the devil. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Let me close. There was this young athlete that was a very talented young man in high school. And he was a high jumper over the high bar. And his coach said literally he was the best athlete he had ever coached in his entire life. He lacked about 6 inches of being able to scale over the bar and break the state record. They were getting ready for the state finals. He only needed about 6 more inches. 6 more inches. No one ever had jumped to that high. But this coach watched him. He watched him try and try and try and try and try. He evaluated him. The coach said, I know he can do it. And so, after every failed attempt, he'd get back up and try it again. Finally, the coach pulled him aside and said, son, listen, I know you can do it. I know you can. He said, but how can I do it? I'm trying. I just can't do it. He said, son, I'm going to tell you how you're going to do it. Listen to me, son. If you'll throw your heart over the bar, your body will follow. If you throw your heart over the bar, your heart will follow. took that advice, went to the state finals, and he jumped over. They were interviewing the young man. He broke the record in the state. They said, "How in the world were you able to do it?" And he said, "I learned a secret from my coach. And that is, your body will never go where your heart has not gone first." Amen. If you want to be the very best that you can be, get your heart. You see, I've made failure after failure after failure. I'm telling you, if you'll just throw your heart over the bar, your body will follow, and this year could be your greatest year. Paul said this, and he goes on to say, whatever condition or situation that I'm in, I am content. Where whatever I have to go through, whatever battle I have to face, if I'm hungry, I'm content. If I'm full, I'm content. But if I'll just give God and Christ my heart, then, you know, He'll do the rest. My body will follow. And you see, here's the deal. God never promised you to get you out of every fiery furnace in life. And if somebody told you that, they lied to you, my friend, because that's not what the book says. As a matter of fact, He never promised to get you out of the furnaces of life, but He did promise He'd be there in the fire with you. Somebody say amen. He'll show up. Amen. He'll meet you in the fire, and He promised never to leave you alone. Now, he may not get you out, but He'll get you through, because I want you to know, most of the time, the way out's through. Amen. The way out is through. The way out is through. What did the psalmist say? He said, though I walk, yes. Do you understand what he's saying? Yeah, that's what yay means. Okay. Yay! Yes! Though I walk, I'm going to walk through it. It's just a matter. I'm going to walk through it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Yes, it's Him going with me and through me, and it's Christ strengthening me. It's not me strengthening myself. I can do all things because Christ strengthens me. You say, "But preach, I don't feel like I can do it. I don't feel like I can do all things." I'm telling you, throw your heart over the bar and your body will follow. It'll follow, but your heart or your body will never go where your heart hasn't gone first. And if you'll put your mind on Jesus, it doesn't matter who believes in you or who doesn't believe in you. God believes in you. It doesn't matter how much sin abounds in Muskogee, Oklahoma. The grace of God doth much more abound. Somebody say amen. I got a problem. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're going to go through it. You say, "I can't possibly carry this burden." No, you can't carry it. But there's one that's greater than you, that's on the inside of you. And you know what? I can and I will, because I can do all things through Christ, the living God that strengthens me. Just throw your heart over the bar and your body will follow. Somebody say amen. Buy a Mustang. Get a Harley. Live your life and live it through